And we are back as we continue now. It's been sort of a busy morning for us because of the news that has certainly broke last night and this morning about the Chief Justice, William Winquist. And in addition to that, continuing the discussions about what's happening locally and with Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, and the fallout from that. So you just bear with us, my dear friend. Our telephone number is 301-230-0980, pound 980 on the Verizon Wireless System as we continue now with our first Sunday political debate. Nicholas Sawalk, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Also, Jim Pomeli, Republican. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Also, Patrice McKinney, Democrat.
Good morning, Jerry.
And we welcome political scientist Michael Fontroy.
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much for being with us. Everybody, good morning to you. It's been a very, very heavy week. Some 900 persons were killed in a stampede in Iraq over the past week, which was very sad to hear in one of the countries that we're certainly trying to liberate, as well as all that took place last week and on through the week, causing the devastation that we're hearing day in and day out on radio and television, and that we're seeing in the newspapers and talked about the Gulf coastal states. And then, of course, this morning we learned that the Chief Justice of the United States is dead. William Winquist died at 80 years old yesterday in his Virginia home with his children at his side. What do you make of the week, Patrice?
Yeah, well, this is quite a week, Jerry, full of a great deal of sadness and tragedy and a great deal of loss. I think it was a very tough week politically for the president and will continue to be so throughout the coming months.
Nicholas Sawalk.
I think that it has been a hard week, and I think that one of the things that's different about a disaster that happens here at home, specifically with the hurricane damage and the flooding, is that there's so much news coverage and there's so much information coming out about what's going on that it takes away some of our sense of perspective that we might have for a disaster that happens somewhere overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of second guessing and a lot of criticism of the efforts that have happened, some rightfully, some wrongfully. But I think everybody needs to take a step back and realize it's very difficult to get any sort of aid into a disaster area, especially when, you know, it's underwater, and kind of just, you know, try and help out in any way you can and, you know, try and cope with the situation without getting too worked up about it.
Jim Pomeli, Republican.
Well, I think the heartening thing is to see how many folks have come out to give money and time and things and people who are volunteering, and I think that you know, just shows it's a cause for optimism.
Right. And my friend who's just joined us, Michael Fontroy.
Well, I think all of this is accurate, but I think we also need to understand that politics drives virtually everything we do in this country. And while we need to applaud and be, you know, be heartened by the relief efforts and what have you, we also have to understand that there are also people trying to figure out the political fallout of all this.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Rove and the political arm in the White House and the Republican National Committee are trying to tamp down and minimize any effects that this could have on President Bush and the Republicans to the best extent that they can. It's very quiet, but these kinds of things are going on. And Democrats, unfortunately, but understandably, are going to make hay out of the fact that for years and years out, there have been consistent cuts and FEMA budgets and FEMA support for levee reconstruction and other sorts of programs all over the country.
Based on what you're saying, let me ask you, my dear friends, this. We've heard so much about Homeland Security over the past, 4 years now, ever since 9/11, definitely. Homeland Security. And yet the question comes not only just New Orleans, Louisiana, one city that a city that's really targeted for a disaster. You're sitting there in the Atlantic Ocean, and if you look down the street, according to what Brian Williams of NBC was saying, I love the way he described it. He said you can look down a street in New Orleans and see a ship at the eye level, you know, at your eye level. That's exceptional. But all American cities, where we've been under so much pressure and so much about security, terrorism and things like that, is the example of New Orleans an example as to the fact that we are ready with Homeland Security or we are not?
It's an example of how it was ridiculous to try and put something like 20 agencies under one umbrella, thinking that anything that has to do with safety is all one agency. It really shows in Michael Chertoff, in his comments when he was on the air, that he doesn't have control over that many people, and you can't have control over that many disparate agencies. We need to be a little bit more rational, a little bit more calm about this, and not just go, anything that has anything to do with our safety or security all goes in this big bucket, and then we just hope everything works.
Well, I mean, let's look at some of the facts on the ground. They were looking at, they were fixing the levees before the storm, and New Orleans has been under threat of this sort of devastation for a long, long time because of its where it is geographically. And there's been a lot done to try to help. And tragically, this happened, but. I think people knew that something like this was going to happen. And how do you stop that sort of hurricane? We don't have the power to stop hurricanes.
Well, I don't think anybody's asking us to stop a hurricane. It's a matter of being prepared when the hurricane hits. Now, this was something that was FEMA had three possible disasters that were on its list. The top three were a terrorist attack, an earthquake in San Francisco, and a flood in New Orleans. So this was obviously not a surprise to anybody. The fact that hurricanes have becoming more powerful, that the levees were seriously compromised, and everybody knew it. The budget had been cut to handle levees. And, you know, here we understand completely that a hurricane could come, the levees could break, the floods would come, and yet we were not prepared.
Hold on, but
for the evacuation of New Orleans.
No matter how much you spend, if you have a big enough hurricane, nature is going to overwhelm. I mean, I'm not an engineer, but from what I've been reading, at a certain level, how big a levee can you build when you're sitting in such a precarious position?
We may not be talking about building a bigger levee, but we have to be prepared for the fact that the levee can be compromised and an evacuation plan that is appropriate for the city is in place, and it certainly was not.
And more to the point, regardless of what could have been done and what should have been done, what we do know is that there have been plans in place for years and years and years. And George Bush has been president since January of 2001. The Republicans have controlled the House for 10 years now, and the Senate nearly as long. And what we can see year in and year out are cuts in funding for support of levee construction. Now, if we can pass a transportation bill, $280-some-odd billion, that puts $250 million to construct a bridge in Alaska that links 50 people on an island to the mainland, then we can certainly do something about
that. Let me say this before you go to Nicholas. Last week on the Today Show, Katie Couric interviewed the head of FEMA. And he has said that, because there was some question as to when did they study these levees, about these levees. And it was stated that there was a study done 2 years ago on New Orleans by FEMA, by the federal government, about the levees. Because they chose New Orleans. It was mainly on disasters. But they chose New Orleans because of the condition of New Orleans. And that it's obvious. If you're sitting there with a big Gulf and a big ocean, mm-hmm. eye level, naturally you would look at it. And he said that they looked at New Orleans and they had come up with some solutions, but the monies never got through, never went through. He asked for monies to do this, but it never went through. Nicholas.
Okay, it takes us 50 damn years to build a road in Montgomery County, so obviously it's hard to get money through to do a project. The problem with New Orleans, and this is simply put, is that New Orleans has too many poor people for an effective evacuation plan. And it's been recognized in all of the scenarios. They recognize that almost 100,000 people would be left in the city in any disaster. You just can't get them out. So any disaster is going to have this kind of devastation. Whether the levies should be federal is a real question I think we need to put on the table. New Orleans, for a long time, has been getting a lot of federal money to put itself in an increasingly precarious position. The more you build up the levies, the more the delta gets washed away. The more the delta gets washed away, the more vulnerable New Orleans becomes. And it's just a vicious cycle of build the walls bigger so that you create a bigger bowl so that when it fills up, there's nothing you can do.
The question here is not what to do about the levees. The question is there was no adequate command and control on the ground in time to manage this disaster. This should not have been a surprise. It was not a surprise. Everybody knew the hurricane was coming, and days went by without command and control on the ground.
It was updated almost this exact time last week on this little show. I mean, that's when the breaking news
right.
that it was a Category 5 hurricane.
Well, there was command and control on the ground to respond to hurricane damage.
Let's talk with Richard.
Not the flood.
Let's talk with Richard in Winchester, Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
I agree that a lot of the problem is the bureaucracy of the government. But in this past week, the thing, excuse me, that really bothered me is that we have taken on in everyday life of wanting to find fault and accuse one another instead of giving this a chance for the rescuers to do their job. Last night on CNN with Larry King, if you listen to him, almost every question he asked was in a manner and tone that would elicit a criticism of the government. And Jesse Jackson, I think is the Afro-American worst enemy, came out and wanted to say because it was a black area, not a poor area, a black area, that the government was allowing this to happen and leaving all these people behind. Now, I am white. I think you're going to find a lot of money being donated to help the people from people like me. But we don't go around picking on a race and wanting something bad to happen to them. And I think we just got to, for a while, try to come together and solve the existing problem, and then if you want to look at what went wrong, there's plenty of time to do that. But we're being very divisive right now.
Okay.
I guess I should speak for black people.
I don't think any one person can speak for
black people. There are a couple of things I would ask. One, is the caller bothered by the fact that the response was poor? It just strikes me that the conversations that we're having don't impact at all what's going on in the ground. I would argue that the hue and cry that has developed around the country actually moved them to move a little quicker than they might normally would have.
Right.
I mean, remember, it took 5 days for the federal government response to get in there. And an argument can be made that perhaps it would have taken longer if folks hadn't gotten too upset.
Well, hold on. You don't think that they were moving as fast as they possibly could?
No, let me tell you what I think. I think that the buses that came in and took people to Houston got in and out of that city quicker than the federal response did. So there's no reason for us to assume that they couldn't have gotten in quicker. They clearly could have. There's no question about that. How is it that all these buses can come in and take people out of New Orleans to Houston before the federal government gets in?
Well, you have a couple of layers of government there, all of them trying. You have the state, federal, and local government all trying as hard as they possibly can. You had different hang-ups in terms of the response, but you almost always have it in a disaster like this. And let's not forget, this was a two-stage disaster. First, you had the hurricane. Then you had the flooding. They were two separate things that happened, and it slowed response down.
That wasn't my question. My question was, how is it that the buses can get in and out of New Orleans quicker than the federal government?
Well, the federal government was in there very quickly, as quickly as they could, as were state and local.
Even journalists covering the story said themselves that we are on the streets covering this. Yeah. One poor man who was dying asked one journalist, How is it you can get down here and report on this,
right.
And I can't even get a
line? I got the answer
because, it's one
excuse
guy
me.
And a camera crew as opposed
excuse
to getting in a full
me,
operation.
Excuse me, let's go to Nicholas.
The answer is this. The federal government, when they come in, has to coordinate an entire concerted response. Getting buses in is relatively simple. It's a little tricky because two of the three roads into the city are gone. But you basically say, go over here, pick up people, and leave. The journalists have it really easy because they just go in, take some pictures, do some interviews,
then why can't the
and
government
leave.
Do, why
the
can't
federal
the government,
first of all, procedurally, the National Guard can't even go in until the governor asks for it. The governor waited
anyway.
A long time to ask for the National Guard.
Okay.
Secondly,
one.
Because you have to try and coordinate the entire security situation, logistics situation on the ground, you can't just send troops running in.
But, Nicholas, hold tight. And I want to go back to the people on the phones because they have a lot of input. My only question here is then, what is Homeland Security? I thought they had gone through this with Homeland Security on evacuations of cities. My question to start this discussion is not pointing fingers at the government or anybody else. My question is, are we prepared for any major city's disaster based on what we saw in New Orleans? Are we prepared in the United States? I mean, I'm looking at Washington, D.C.
We're not prepared for New Orleans.
Are we prepared for Washington, D.C.?
Washington's easier.
If this is one of our top three planned disasters, I say this is a very poor reflection on what we have in place.
What are you judging it against? What are you judging it against? The response that we had in New Orleans, what is it being judged against?
The fact that they've got thousands and thousands of people sitting in Astrodome and in the convention center and able to evacuate.
But what was the
city,
best case
they
scenario?
Were unable
well, we
to
can
evacuate
kick around. We can kick around this all day long about the best case scenario.
I mean,
scenario.
We may have been doing the best
right.
job possible.
Right. We might have been.
If that's the case, then we have a problem.
But the point is, I go back to my original question. Is Homeland Security really making plans? You brought it up. Three major types of disaster. Either terrorists could blow us to you know where, or we get a catastrophic. A bad, like you were saying, Jim, a bad act of nature. The question is, in this day, modern day of technology, an American way with monies and everything else, even the British would say, you know, great country like this, it seems as though there should be a better plan for saving life. Peter in D.C., good morning.
Morning. I think there's most probably no question that the government's response was slow. The reporters are talking about having satellite radios, but apparently the government doesn't have them to use for communication. But the other issue that's been talked about a lot now on the media is trying to compare this to 9/11, and people are raving about Rudy Giuliani and all of that. And I think people have to understand that one thing has nothing to do with the other. It's totally different.
Right.
Rudy Giuliani could tell people to run up the street, and within about 5 miles, within about 5 miles, you could get a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a bizarre kind of situation to try and compare it.
And you know, Peter, you can't even compare it with Biloxi, Mississippi, because you didn't have water around houses in Biloxi, Mississippi. You had destruction.
Exactly.
But yes. At least people could walk.
People could walk, and so I'm really tired of people trying to compare it to New York and saying, oh, he did such a great job, and the people down here didn't. Now, clearly, the federal government wasn't prepared, and I think we're going to deal with that. I think they have to deal with that, and there should be a congressional investigation of why they couldn't bring boats in, why the hospital ship Comfort is heading down by next Thursday to New Orleans when no one will be there anymore. You know, that kind of thing, I think, has to be talked about. But comparing it to New York is a ridiculous kind of thing, where there were a bunch of office buildings that came down versus people's homes where they live and an entire city that's lost its infrastructure.
Peter, can you hold on the line?
Yes.
Please don't leave me, okay? Can we connect Robert with Peter there, Shaheen? Robert, Peter's on the line along with our guest here in the studio. Let's get your input, please, from Germantown.
Yes, I've listened to the news on this. You know, the government. The primary government official coordinating services requesting federal assistance, state assistance, is the mayor. And as the previous caller mentioned, the mayor of New Orleans is no Giuliani. Now, what happened to the millions and millions of dollars that were sent to New Orleans to plan for disaster? Why didn't the mayor just use the school buses? The why didn't the governor order up the National Guard? I've heard on the news an indication, well, the president didn't order in the National Guard. He can't. They have not been federalized. They are under the command and control of the governor. This is playing on the ignorance of people. One of the big problems we have in New Orleans is since Dewey, since Long, it's been very liberal socialist. These people, even the mayor of New Orleans said, where's the government? Give him a mirror. You know, he is the only one who knows that city. He is the only one who can coordinate the assistance and the support coming in. Now, FEMA blew it. FEMA did a really bad job. But they are assistants. For days we sat there and the mayor, apparently, I don't know what happened to those millions of dollars, but didn't seem to have a plan. Like I said, as simple as, let's get the school buses out and evacuate people.
Mm-hmm.
The people there have learned to become so dependent, even the mayor is saying, where's the government? He's the government. His office, his staff, they are the ones who know that city, who can coordinate services and support.
Hey, Robin,
we sent down police from, where was it, Loudoun County,
mm-hmm.
and they never got permission from the state just to go down. They had to turn around in Southern Virginia and come back.
I hear what you're saying about the mayor, but let's look at the governor, too, because the governor has a lot more power. At least she can bring in the National Guard.
Agreed. And my understanding, I heard a snippet that the National Guard was in New Orleans the day before the water came in and was evacuated out, but they didn't get back in for five more days. Bush was not elected mayor of New Orleans.
But this is Peter.
Okay, yes. Peter, go ahead.
I think we're putting a little heavy duty on Nagin as mayor. The reality is, if those of you that remember that in Washington, D.C., and where the federal government is located here, the last time there was a plane flying overhead in our airspace, the mayor didn't know about it because we didn't have the communication to let him know.
Right.
So the reality.
And we evacuated Capitol Hill.
And we evacuated, right.
In 5 minutes.
We didn't evacuate the city, but we went ahead and evacuated Capitol Hill, but none of the people around it. So I wouldn't go blaming the mayor of New Orleans alone.
He's the only one.
He may have done something wrong, but it's ridiculous to think that he had the communications to be able to even talk to his police. We knew he didn't.
Okay,
where's the plan for all those millions of dollars we sent in for an evacuation plan after 911?
Okay, Peter and Robert, thank you very much. I hate to do this, but I have to move on, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good for your input. Let's go to Stu in Bethesda. Good morning, Stu.
Jerry. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Jerry, there's going to be plenty of blame for what's been happening to go around, so I tell you, one person that I'm glad to see is no longer talking on TV is the head of FEMA. This gentleman should be fired immediately. I can think of at least two things that he said that were outrageous.
He couldn't answer Kata Carrick last week. That's one thing for sure.
Well, I tell you, one of the things he said, he blamed the people who stayed, even though there was a mandatory evacuation. These people did not have any way to get out of town other than maybe just walk.
Or swim,
exactly. The other thing was, he said on the air, and I heard him, that no one had told FEMA or the government, whatever way you want to call it, about the convention center. There were reporters there showing the convention center. And I'm not talking about the Superdome, the convention center itself. They were showing pictures of this place 2 or 3 days before after he was talking about that nobody had told them. So this was on the air. All he had to do was turn on the TV. They've now got a new guy there. The assistant director's name is either Rode or Rode, who is doing a lot better job and can talk.
Okay.
Goodbye, guys.
Thank you, Stu. Let's talk to Joyce and Burke. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Jerry, and ladies and gentlemen. Jerry, your question. Are we prepared? No, not at all. The reason is it comes down to a five-letter word called money.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will talk about having their plans, or the fact that they don't want to take the time because it costs money to do this. Nobody will listen. I mean, I heard about Katrina being Category 5 down to 4. But the thing is, I don't care what political affiliation you have, because I don't trust any of them for more reasons than one.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, people won't take the time. They won't think things all the way through because they're in a big hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. They evacuate the city. Nobody thinks about the people along the coast who always use public transportation. And like someone else remarked about the school buses, I thought, my God, who's thinking? Nobody was thinking. I have to agree with the gentleman on the director of FEMA, but that's my personal opinion. The other thing I'd like to point out, and this is for all of government or whoever may be listening, look at what they did with New Orleans on the coast. They, what is it, took back, claimed about 200 acres that used to be out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been over several years.
Mm-hmm.
But there's about 200 acres out there right along the ocean coast that have been claimed by land. They built on it. That's the stuff that used to protect New Orleans.
Yeah. You know, interesting you say that because a report was on last week. And I don't know if it was Ann Thompson of NBC or what person it was, what reporter it was, but she gave the analysis that, and it was a very interesting analysis about ecology around New Orleans, how all of the marshlands, many of the marshlands, have been turned over to developers. And those marshlands protect it. I mean, nature takes care of itself. It's a natural thing. That you have, we could go on and on with this. But anyway,
that's
the point that you were making, Joyce, and that was brought out. Yeah. Thank you.
But no, that's like what's happening up here in Virginia and all over. They're claiming, all these little watersheds. Well, guess what? The next major storm that comes along, we don't know. We might get flooded away.
Right. Thank you very much.
But thank you, and you have a good day. It's an interesting program today. They're all of them are, but today especially. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. Appreciate your input. Well, friends, I tell you what, this story will not go away. We'll be pointing fingers at each other. But certainly, Nicholas Solak, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jim Pomley, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael Fontroy, thank you for joining us. You come back again?
I'll come back when
next month.
Yeah.
Well, you will signing you in. And Patrice McKinney, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry.
All I can say is that I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, white, black, pink, purple, Catholic, Protestant, poor, rich. I don't care what you are. I had tears in my eyes this week because I saw a little child yelling out, I need help. In addition to that, the question kept running through my mind as I heard it said over and over. I can't believe this is America. This looks like Iraq or Somalia. Like I said, I don't care who you are and what your stance is. I just know that this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my country in my lifetime. I'm not giving a commentary, folks. I'm just sharing with you some thoughts that have gone through all of our minds. But it all comes down to one thing. We're all human beings. And until we start respecting each other as human beings, regardless what color we are, what size we are, what shape we are, God knows. As human beings, we've got to do it. Isn't there a saying in the Bible? Man is the salt of the earth. Well, we sure did weaken that salt in America this past week. Much love, much peace. WBIG-FM, Washington.